Good afternoon, council members. My name is Nancy Chernoff, and I'm with Clear Channel Outdoor, and I'm going to make this rather brief because I believe David Hutt, who is representing us as well, did a very good job. I just want to address a few of the questions that Mr. Hutt wasn't able to address, and I also have a couple people from my office, Dennis Weller and Jay Hammer, that could address questions that you may have. The first is, why digital billboards? Why do we want those? And I think, Councilman Cole, you said because they're brighter and people look at them more.
They generate good revenue. I mean, I understand it's a business that you can put more signage on there.
Yeah.
And you can get more money out of one sign than you can under a static sign.
That's not really true. We are actually having problems. We have digitals in Maryland. We are actually having problems selling those because there is an elevated expense. And people want, businesses will say, especially in this area, I can have a sign 24/7. Why would I want to go on a digital and just have 8 seconds? So don't think that if you have a digital ordinance, all of a sudden you're going to have all these changes in digital billboards. That's not going to happen. But why the industry and the advertisers that do use them, like them, it's ego-friendly. We put up vinyls on our static, and they can cost anywhere from $750 up to $1,500. Every time your advertiser wants to change, they have to eat that expense up, and we have to make up another vinyl. We try to recycle our vinyls, but they can change the message easily. So it's saving the advertiser money. You can change messages. And it's not because of this brightness issue. If you have a well-designed static billboard vinyl and a poor ad and a poorly designed digital ad, your eye is going to be drawn to the better design. It's not because it is a brightness issue, especially with the digitals, because they are seamless when they change. And I brought with me a list that our account executive, Jay Hammer, put together. He services Sussex County, and he lives in Delmar, Delaware. And these, and I will submit this, but these are your major advertisers. These are the people that are bringing the money into Sussex County. We have McDonald's, Applebee's, Wawa. We do Delaware Technical Community College. We do Nanticoke Hospital, BB Hospital, the state of Delaware. And I'm going to submit this list. And these people, we call some of our signs, the advertiser is a perm. That means that they are permanently on that sign. They have contracted for that sign for a year, and then they have the first right of refusal. Some of them contract for 2-3 years, and that's in Sussex County, especially on Route 1. Our advertisers rely on these billboards. And when I say billboard, Councilman Arlett, you are on the money. It is off-premise signs that we do. And this is what the industry advertises on and needs. I would like to submit this to the council.
Yes, thank you.
Quick question. What are the jurisdictions you operate in, regulate electronics on?
Yes, they do.
Okay, and which is what we're...
You're banning. You are putting a ban on digitals. And another, with the digitals, and in Maryland, in the counties that we have them, we are a partner with law enforcement. We are a partner with the state of Maryland. We entered into a memorandum of understanding, and it's a legal document that took a couple months to draft, but when there is an emergency on the Maryland, we have a system set up, they automatically send us evacuation information, and it goes up on all the digitals. There is no charge to the state for this. We do not charge for that. The Amber Alerts, they go up automatically. It's part of our contract, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dennis, that your advertisement will be interrupted on a digital billboard for an Amber Alert. And we have no opposition from the advertisers for that.
Yes,
I think.
What else that you don't like
in our? Okay. Our signs, a large majority of them, are wooden. And with your 1,000 feet separation, you have just put probably 80% of the signs, especially on Route 1, under non-conforming. Once they're designated as non-conforming, then you've hit with, if they're destroyed by a natural disaster, you cannot rebuild them. But then you define the natural and destruction as to 50% of the board, 50% of the pilings, 75% of the face. And as you know, on Route 1, we are hit by hurricanes, we're hit by windstorms, things of that nature. So you will wipe out probably a third of our inventory with that. And not being able to take a wooden structure and turn it into a monopole, that's very detrimental because, A, they're better looking. You're going to get rid of the clutter factor when you get rid of these poles. So that is pretty much targeted at doing away with billboards over time. And that's why we're in support of the alternate ordinance.
When you get permits to put billboards in Sussex County, your company?
Yes.
Did you seek the variance sometimes, or never?
Well, I can tell you, I've been a manager for 5 years. We did seek the first billboard that we wanted to build new. We sought a variance, and we were denied. And it was for a billboard. It was for 40 feet, and then we wanted to increase the square footage. That's two variances. It is a tough process. I mean, they don't hand these out like candy. We were denied. So, and, you know, we had an attorney that represented us. Yeah. So, you know, in speaking to the variances, I think there's a lot of problems with not having variances. It is a tough standard.
Which so you built that billboard in compliance?
No, we did not build it at all. One of our problems is why we had to get it up so high is it's on Route 1. You may know it. There is a huge tub that we had to get up over and also up over some trees. And I find out later that it's a form of advertising, the tub, and I guess it's illegal, but that was one of our issues. And no, we did not build it because it was a line of sight issue.
Now, 500 feet, the proposed order is 1,000. 500 feet will also impact. Now, you said 80%, so maybe 60% of the impact is 500 feet?
Less than that because we've got a lot that are 300 feet from other signs, and then a lot 500 to 700 feet. But yes, 500 would impact it, still impact it. It would be a non-conforming. That's correct.
I have a question.
Sure.
You may not even have data about
this. I may not. Yes.
That it is a lot more better looking, a lot more stable, a lot more long-term monopole versus the
pilings. Yes.
Is there any data as it relates to a natural disaster or how many, I can imagine or I can envision, if you would, pilings getting destroyed for obvious reasons because it's wood.
Right.
But a monopole, I mean, how many of those are actually
No. Very much, it's difficult to destroy a monopole. And that's my problem is that probably 3/4 of our inventory is wooden. And we would like to, you know, move to the monopoles.
In your mind, perhaps a permanent, well, there is nothing permanent, but I guess it's not for long term.
Yes.
Permanence as it relates to the longevity of that billboard versus that of that site.
It's the maintenance is much easier, maintenance free. And it does, it's a better looking sign.
I agree.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else?
No, that's okay. That's it. Thank you.
Is there anyone else like to speak?
There's nobody else we're going to move here.
Don't tell us about Bill Stevens.
I'm going to say a thing, George.
Lynn Rogers, 110 Lavinia Street, Milton, Delaware. Not going to be redundant. Just going to summarize a couple things. Everybody did a great job back there today. I think they were all factual and honest about what they had to say. Just one thing, that the reason we had the committee was the Board of Adjustment asked the county administrator to discuss the billboard situation, which a committee was formed, a moratorium was put on, and we ended up with a full-blown overhaul of the regulation. But one thing that was a concern the Board of Adjustment was, and I sit through most all their hearings on the internet or in person, was to cut down on the amount of Board of Adjustment hearings for billboards. And you look back in history, and the main reason most people came in here for a Board of Adjustment billboard was that they wanted to go from the regulation was set years ago, 300 square feet, back to 6, and up 10 more feet from 25 to 35. And that was basically the majority of their Board of Adjustment public hearings for billboards.
Two variances.
It was one variance public hearing for a special use exception for that billboard, but they wanted to have it the way it used to be and higher, because 25 feet just kind of niches it with the buildings, the way they've set, with the setback. And you probably need to even go more if you allowed the new regulation to go to 40-foot setback, because the buildings would be blocking them. But on Route 1, it's built out. Talked about the big three. We call it, Bulldog calls it the big four, but that's okay. Big three is Route 1, 113, and 13. And as has been said, it's like a wedge. Route 1's built out. The distance is going to be farther on Route 1, on 13, because it's just like going to Kansas from going to Manhattan, basically what it's like. One thing in the proposed ordinance was, and they wanted to cut down on Board of Adjustment hearings, you have in there that on-premise electronic medicine centers will require special use exception. You know how many of those Board of Adjustment hearings there would be for that? It would be backed up for months. And just one other thing, and Ms. Deaver had to step out. The difference between animation, it seems like the concern of some of the public, is there's difference between animation and showing a movie. There is some people out there that just put an advertisement that you see on TV on their sign, because the lower millimeter, they can show that. Animation, in my opinion, in the industry opinion most of the time, is just a subtle movement of the frame when it comes up to whatever it is. If it's a can of beer opening up and the fuzz going off it, or a cup of coffee with the steam on it, and then it goes to the message. You know, and that's pretty much about that what it was. But like I said, I didn't want to be redundant, and I'm not going to be, but I think everybody, I urge the council to, I was concerned spending all the time on the committee and basically throw it out the window with all the time and staff time. I'd like to compliment Lawrence. Let me tell you, you don't come in here to get a permit for a sign and think you're going to get approved all the time. Lawrence Lank is fair, but he's firm, and he sticks by the code. And he just tells you sometimes, no, it can't be done. In discussion. I mean, it's just the way it is sometimes. And it was good inspiration on the committee, and Jamie did a great job. But it was just disheartening to see it thrown out the window with something. You know, it's hard to believe a bunch of Republicans want more regulations and more government.
I've got a question for you, Clint.
Yes, sir.
Currently, the Board of Adjustment doesn't hear on-premise signs?
No.
Not at all, right? They go to Lawrence?
They would have to. There could be a variance if it was a set, but Lawrence can address that.
Well, one size, bigger, taller, and all that other stuff, right?
There isn't a public hearing requirement for an on-premise sign.
Right.
But they do come in for setbacks, space, separation, height. Most of the time it's height through square foot.
And that'll go to the commission?
Goes to the board.
P&Z no. Or the BOA?
Goes to the board. It's a public hearing for a variance.
Okay.
Not a special exception because it's permitted. But it's typically square footage and height.
Correct.
That's exactly. And is there
or maybe a setback from property, but that's rare, but it's only a minimum.
Do a lot of on-premise signs go to the Board of Adjustment, in your opinion?
A lot.
Do they?
Now?
Well, I mean,
it's
Years.
There's several a year, but it's not
an
overbearing number.
Most people come in and comply with E-Rate.
Well, are you talking about on-premise or off-premise?
On-premise.
Because I don't know that we get many on-premise.
It's typically a square footage.
That's the question. You can get very few on-premise.
Correct.
So again, you get the same mix that you do with the on-premise versus the off-premise versus the heights, and they intermix, and that's usually the issue.
And under our draft now, not all on-premise signs have to go through the Board of Adjustment.
No, only on-premise electronic message centers.
Message center.
Correct. And that would be for a special use exception.
Okay.
They still could be the, for very.
Still comply with everything else, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So in closing.
Just to clear one thing, in the 4 years I've been on the, serving as the board's attorney, we've seen more variance requests related to off-premise signs than on-premise.
And actually, to that point, if I may, why? I mean, years past, I guess if there was not as many, and all of a sudden, as you just said, there are more now than before. In your opinion, why would there be?
Well, you know, I haven't surveyed how many there were in the years before I started on the board with the board's attorney, so I don't know if there was an uptick. I don't know that we had those statistics. I know that one of the concerns we had was there seemed to be more coming in around the time that letter was sent, and one of the things that the board looked at was, this is something that, you know, is there a disconnect? Maybe there's something that needs to be looked at as far as our ordinance versus what we're seeing at our level. So I think that's what precipitated that letter.
Yeah, and I think in a previous setting here, one time, Mr. Hutt brought up, somebody asked the question, how many new structures there had been the last 8 years? And it was at a meeting. I think he clarified that it was like 80, 82 in 8 years or something, brand new structures. Mr. Hutt may clarify that.
Off in the memory bank.
If I may overstate my welcome and come back.
New structures.
For new structures, it's very rare, but actually the number of applications before the Board of Adjustment for off-premise signs has been consistent for the last decade. There's not an increase. It's about 9 a year that the board sees. And as Mr. Sharp indicates, I do quite a bit of Board of Adjustment work. The number of on-premise sign applications is lower than that. I mean, that's probably one or two, maybe, a year. But off-premise signs, you're looking at 9 a year. And so, again, I don't think either on or off-premise signs has a high volume of applications before the board.
Well, 60 months I've been here, I mean, I'm prefacing his comment, so I don't know the history, the longevity, you know what I mean, of this request. So I was asking based on his comment.
And Mr. Arlett had asked previously to have a demonstration of different transitions and stuff. I provided Janelle with a thumb drive that shows all that for you. That shows subtleness and other things that you can see to see how they work. Because like I said, Ms. Deaver, you're back in the room now. There is a difference between animation and showing a movie. Some people show movies on these signs, and that's not right to do that. And I'm just saying, you that question. They show movies. I mean, people show
signs on the road?
Well, they show an advertisement off TV on the sign, and that's not right. Like I said, I just urge the council to disregard what you proposed and look at the alternatives and come up with a working document that the industry can work with, because we don't want to become the most over-regulated industry in Sussex County, and we'd be more regulated than a nursing home or a hospital, and that gets pretty tough. So thank you for your time.
Is there anyone else that desires to speak? I see someone coming forward.
Hi, I'm Jerry Hocker, Ocean View, Delaware, where our businesses are. As I was sitting there, I made a few notes, so bear with me. I'll follow my notes here. I felt the need to speak because I can speak on behalf of just about all of the above that's been discussed today, from the billboard side, digital and static, to the on-premise side, digital, and reader board, the old-fashioned reader board with the letters. We still have those. We, since year 2000, we got into the billboards. They've been static. Up until within the last year, we did a conversion to digital. By doing so, the conversion The digital facing complies 100% with the current county code on square footage. The statics, we have some non-conforming structures. In a conversion of a static, we were also able to take a non-conforming structure and make it conforming to the square footage. We completely removed a back-to-back facing of 300 square feet each side and made it one single facing back-to-back 300 square feet each side. And it also complies with the current height of the county. So that could be something to consider for future, as businesses may want to upgrade. They may file a suit and be able to do the same thing as we did. One of our first digital needed a height variance on account of the parking lot. The billboard business is certainly very minor compared to what we do for a living. As many of you know, we have the grocery stores, hardware stores. We depend very, very much on the on-premise signage. We do all kinds of signs, from the old-fashioned reader boards to the digital messaging, even the gas sign that we had to get a variance to put up so we could display gas prices for the public. We have the pylon signs. Our Route 17 and 26 business, we have a pylon sign on both sides, on the Route 26 side as well as the Route 17 side. A V sign I would never even have considered there, as Mr. Cole had mentioned possibly one sign taking care of the both roads due to the fact it's an intersection. To safely navigate through the intersection, then the customers can see your sign and can actually read it. One of those, we have the gas sign, we have a digital on-premise reader board. We use it for exactly what it's intended for. At any given day, you may see a half-pound cheeseburger special. We try to say it in seven words or less. That way the eye can see it, navigate directly back to the road. Never once have we had a complaint on the brightness, on the fading, the raining, whatever method we do. They do not flash. That's not even one of the criteria that we can even choose, but you can make it fade from top to bottom, left to right, whichever you want. You may see our gas rewards. You may see a little ad about our meat reputation. We try to say it simple, and by the digital we can say many things, as opposed to putting five or six lines on the reader boards. We try to keep those simple, but there's times that they're a little harder to read, or a windstorm comes and blows some of the letters off. Our on-premise, we also have wall signs that we depend highly on, that we have quite a few permits on. I usually have to call every time we get a bill to find out which store it was for or which sign it may have been for. I've been trying for years to try to get the county to have a better method of noting which sign they're for instead of a permit number. But we do radio ads, we do TV, we do print, we do some internet. But the most important thing that we do to get people in our store, Sussex County, in an area where you're so spread out, people have to drive. You can't be in every little publication to try to get people in your store. You can't be on every radio station. So you hope you capture them as they're passing by your business. And you hope you do it in a tasteful manner. The signs we chose, both the on-premise and the off-premise, we went with Watch Fire Sign Company. Very, very good company, one of the leaders in the industry. There's some others, but some of the signs that I've seen that I think are rather distasteful, I look at the name of them, and they're a no-name, or they're a company made overseas. That may be something to take a look at. Some of the brightest, most obnoxious ones are not even U.S.-made signs that I personally have seen. And with Watch Fire, you get the flexibility. Ours naturally dim. Never once have I looked at my sign and thought it was too bright. I don't want it to be too bright, or it may be distracting. They'll dim with the evening conditions. They'll dim even if it's a cloudy day. You're not going to be able to sit there and watch it dim. It'd be like watching paint dry. But at this point, I just wanted to voice my opposition to the ordinance as drafted and support the ordinance that I myself, along with many others, had retained Mr. Hutt to so finally draft. I think he did a magnificent job. And certainly taking the opportunity of a sign variance away, I just find that as part of property infringement, is my view on it. And being in business, We're faced with so many obstacles and worry about what our federal government might do to us next that we don't need to worry about what the Sussex County government's going to do to us. Thank you.
Question.
Okay.
I'm trying to visualize your store as compared to the big guys, the Giant and all the other stores. How does the signage compare generally? Do you think they have more signs up than you do at Hunter's?
Well, if you look at our Cedar Neck store, we have one pylon sign, the one in Ocean View, and it's fairly recent. It's a single. It has just the old-fashioned reader board. It does have a digital gas pro sign in there. But that sufficiently handles that store. Our Route 17 store, certainly our on-premise sign would be sufficient for any of your national chains. Obviously, you're going to want to sign on both sides of the road. I like to think not. We stay with the trends.
As far as signs.
Okay, I thought you...
No, I'm thinking about the signs.
Jared, just to tell me, on the big one in your parking lot, on 17.
On-premise or off-premise? We have both.
Okay. The off-premise sign, the big, tall. How many variances were there? Granted there again. It's got to be height.
One for height.
Size?
No, I comply. I'm 300 square feet per side. The height of that one that I received my approval in 2011 was granted for a 42-foot maximum height, which was the same as our other two structures that were granted in 2008. All three structures.
You're saying structures that mean some other
billboard structures.
Right here, right? Yeah. They're all the same height.
All three when we erected.
What was the hardship to go 42 feet? If you could explain to me
By the time you have the height of your sign, the height of your catwalk, it's not uncommon to see tractors or combines or tractor trailers or anything within our store parking lot. So I could visualize.
I'm just saying, because the height of that one on the two-lane road, I think there's been, Mr. Huck even said there should be different standards on two-lane roads versus four-lane roads.
And at the time, I could visualize what we already had that was approved in 2008, so I went with that same height. And instead of a double stack sign, it's a single with the height. I knew that I...
The double stack signs are all in compliance? Were they variances to get double stacked?
In 2008, they were actually, it was probably 2007 that the variance was actually approved. They were approved for increased height for the double stack. Of which, one of those is now gone and complies.
Don't you have to have a variance to get a double?
They were... It was to double
so
the square footage.
Everything in there in that section, because that's a very cluttered section, that entrance to Millville right there with all their signs. It's just gotten, and I get more complaints about that area, how it doesn't look that nice. It's aesthetically not very pleasing. And every sign and every billboard in there basically had variances. It just seems that they were awfully generous.
And ours were erected in, like I said, in 2008, and I've not had any complaints with them.
But I'm just saying, they're not in compliance. They were all variances to get what you had, right?
They were. And they were all put up with the appropriate variances.
I understand all that. I'm just saying, that's not what's permitted with our ordinance. You had to get a variance to do what
Correct.
You did, right?
Correct.
Which doubled up and got higher and everything else, right? Okay.
Which brought me to my point that I currently took one of those structures that was non-conforming and made it conforming to height and conforming to square footage. So,
you mean a double? You took a double and made it a single?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I have one last question. Okay. Thanks for being here. So a quick question on that is your thoughts as it relates to enforcement. I don't know who all's here, but I know we had one lady represent the national company, right? Of billboards. You represent, I would say, a local.
We're just small compared to the bigger people out there.
I'd love to get your perspective as it relates to your fellow billboard guys, people around this county, as it relates to if they're, in your opinion, if there are some loose ends out there and we can do better on the enforcement part.
All of your off-premise signs that are erected now were erected with approval. And they went through a variance process. And to take that away from anybody, I would not even think about wanting to do so. And with that, you know, maybe there were some needs for some changes, but not the far extreme changes like I saw. At one point, I thought I would have rather been interesting to have been on the panel to help rewrite those ordinances, coming from the background that I knew. But once I got the draft, I was so glad I didn't waste my time doing so, because it's so one-sided right now. Changes may be necessary, and that's why a whole group of us retained Mr. Hutt, and no doubt I highly recommend his draft.
You know, like we started out, we are looking at flags, we're looking at the whole sign ordinance, and I think that was a misunderstanding with the working group, because I think the emphasis was on on-premise and off-premise signs, but we've got to update this whole ordinance, and we're trying to look at the banded sign, which, again, I get a lot of complaints about those going up every Friday night, coming in every Saturday. And flags, how many flags should you have? And I've had businesses complain that the neighboring business has so many flags, you can't see my business. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to get a balance out there, and we're just trying to update an ordinance. And as I told Mr. Phillips earlier, we try to make it strict so we can always back up. So.
Well, my hope is that you back up a lot.
Take it under advisement.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Yeah. Is there anyone else who'd like to address the council? Sir?
Hello, my name is Chet Atkins. I own Premier Outdoor Media and a number of other billboard companies in the region. We're a very small business. We were kind of invited down here by some of the people that work down here. And we've built approximately 10, 11 signs, and we're looking to build some more. I did read the first ordinance that came out, and I thought it was written by a one-sided operation who wasn't taking anything into consideration about the business. I like to make money when I run my business. I like to earn a living. I like to give to people. I like to share my advertising venues with nonprofits. I help a lot of people with my advertising. And what I'd like to do is continue building signs properly. I've been building digital signs for 7 years. I've heard the flashing thing before, and it's baloney. There's no flashing on my signs at all. In fact, it's illegal to flash. It's illegal to be animated, federally illegal. The larger companies around the country don't let each other break the laws because we want to keep things in place. What I propose is to go with David's new draft ordinance, because it's been honed down to a point where it actually works. And what you guys have been talking about would not work. It would put a lot of people out of business, would lose a lot of money for people. In your territory, in your county. I don't think this is an anti-business group or an anti-business county or town, but it does seem like the ordinance that's trying to be passed right now is anti-business. I have a lot of information about billboards and signs. I've been writing ordinances for a long time for towns around New Jersey, and they work. The ordinances do work. I'd be glad to answer any questions you might have.
Well, I begin to suspect that a lot of the complaints might be due to the very many new people that I have in my district, thousands of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they come in with all kinds of opinions, and, you know, but I represent them, and they're just as important as the people who are born
sure.
and raised here. But I think a lot of it's coming from those folks. But it's what we have to deal with.
Yeah, it seems to be a haven for retired people.
Yes.
You know, a lot of retired people are coming down here.
We're very fortunate for that.
Yes.
If there are no other questions, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that wishes to speak? Is there anyone else that wishes to speak on this proposed ordinance?
I have one question I'll ask.
In this draft, we've seen a couple situations where we get an on-premise sign and there's no business, or there's no business operating. Does this ordinance address anything when somebody comes in for an on-premise sign, that there's any correlation that there's actually an operating functioning business there, because I've seen, I think, a couple situations that I know that it's questionable. And then the other thing is are we controlling the message on an on-premise sign? What is the, I've seen on-premise signs messaging off-premise businesses. And how will we, how will this ordinance address those? Because it's kind of a little loophole to, you know, that somebody could use.
Well, one of the things that we did was, if in the definitions part, we put in there about abandoned on-premise signs and abandoned off-premise signs. We've added that that would be prohibited, those signs. In the alternate ordinance that was proposed by Mr. Hutt, he kind of amended those definitions to basically state that an abandoned sign would be one that was not used or that no longer identified or advertised an ongoing business, product, service, or idea for a period of 6 months.
Okay, I'm more concerned that we're seeing a new sign come up with a proposed business operating, and that maybe that because of just saying they got a business permit or something, but no actually operating business ever on that premise goes there to be correlated with that on-premise sign.
I think the key phrase in the definition is ongoing, so it would need to be an ongoing business. So in the scenario that you've proposed, that would be a proposed business, one that's not ongoing.
Is there any standard to when somebody comes in and gets an on-premise sign, and when can they get the on-premise sign when they have supposedly go with their business? Does the building have to be built, or is there a time that it's permitted to have the on-premise sign to go with the on-premise, get rid of the business? You know what I'm trying to say?
I think that would be one of those devil in the details type of things that would probably be handled administratively. I don't know if Lawrence has anything to chime in on that.
That's a good answer. The situation would be you have a site plan approval for the business. Right. Site plan includes the location of the sign. Mm-hmm. They get the permit for one or the other. It's not been, we haven't watchdogged it to make sure that the building permit was issued or started before the sign went up. Usually the sign goes up about the same time the building does. A lot of times the situation would be that the site plan's going to change. They relocate the signage that was already there so they can do a different type of building configuration. And that building configuration then gets a permit. The sign may already be faced for that signage. So we're going to have to watchdog it to make sure that the building's ready to be occupied before the sign cover is exposed.
What if they do everything and they never occupy the building?
Right. Yeah, I understand. We have to figure out.
Is there any enforcement on that we all of a sudden have an on-premise sign, supposedly?
But it'd be advertising. It wouldn't be advertising something that wasn't there. So then it becomes an off-premise sign because it's advertising a business that's somewhere else. It's got to be on-premise.
Clear definitions. You have a real estate office, and they start advertising all these subdivisions are all over the county.
I think one of the things we have to be real careful about when we're looking at this and drafting it is to try to be content neutral. And that's one of those things where we start delving into, well, this is okay, but this isn't okay. We run into delving into content.
Well, it's when it comes to on-premise sign, content is important.
Well,
say?
And that's why it says an ongoing business, product, location, service, idea, or activity conducted on that site. So that's going to be the definition of what's there.
And the difficulty of the easy example of real estate business, there. The question is, are they advertising real estate, which is their business? Mm-hmm. So it's
right.
An activity related to that business. So the question is that appropriate advertisement on that sign?
I mean, I understand somebody advertising a house in a garage on 2.5 acres. You know, it's a listing of that company and stuff. But then we're seeing maybe subdivisions or you know, off-site communities being advertised. Wonder
if that to the question is that real estate company the listing agent for that subject?
It's easy to write up a listing agreement. I'm just curious of how I see some abuse there. I think they're stretching.
We get the same questions.
Okay. We don't really address it with this ordinance where we can enforce something.
Not specific in that, you know, kind of scenario that you've proposed. I mean, I think we have to be careful not to legislate on the fringes and try to look at something that is easy to understand and to enforce. And that's what we've done and what we've proposed.
But if somebody had a company that was just like mailbox in this particular building with another business, can they advertise all these, you know, could they?
I think
advertise all these mailbox businesses on this.
Yeah, I think at that.
I'm just wondering where, you know, because let me tell you something. There's a way that they can skirt the,
yeah,
the on-premise regulations will do it.
And, you know, if we start running into issues on enforcement, then maybe we look at revising
it.
But yeah. I think we tried to encapsulate as many of those kind of situations as we could while still keeping it content neutral.
With we have you both up there, so. So let's. I want to ask you about that because I hear from those that are in the industry who tell me that they comply with all the rules and regulations, and I would have no reason to think otherwise. But the question is that, you know, some have concerns or known the fact that some are not in compliance. And so, because we have always been a complaint-driven county, somebody provides a complaint. So walk through the process, because if somebody actually does have a complaint and it is found that they are indeed in compliance, or excuse me, that they are not in compliance, what is the actual process and what's a timeline and where is the teeth, I guess is what I'm trying to ask.
Mr. Lang could probably walk you through that process.
Because I think I have heard that more than one occasion, that several people do have concerns over.
The difficulty that we've had over the last few months is that we've been dealing with amendments to the ordinance, and we haven't taken some actions because they're sort of not complaint driven if there's not a complaint. So we haven't taken some action on things that we've even questioned ourselves.
I mean, if there is a complaint, staff goes out and then confirms that indeed that they are not in compliance.
There's several parties that have been cited for questions that have come up today, for example. We haven't taken any legal action against them until we felt we had an ordinance that was workable.
What is the process that you would have used prior to the moratorium and this entire issue coming up? I think that's more what you're looking for.
Well, we cite a violation, whether it's complaint driven or not. We can cite a violation. That violation is then contacted through the individual after they get their violation. They come in, they question why we violated, and we so state. If we need to go through the constable's office, we go through the constable's office, and they go to magistrate. Or else, if we feel more appropriate to go to the attorneys, we may go to Jamie or Vince and ask them to step forward and go into the court litigation rather than the magistrate court. There's two processes.
So I guess, you know, bottom line is you know, I guess the question is that I have been asked is how do we shorten it and how do we have teeth? In other words, if somebody's not in compliance and they play the game, they go through this, they delay, and that whatever it is, be it an on-site that's being used as an off-site or a billboard source, whatever the case may be, I mean, at what point in time does the county, if ever, do we actually force the issue and require them to tear it down, to remove it, to do something?
We would have
to get them back in compliance.
We'd have to go, as I said, we'd have to go through the magistrate system. The magistrate system makes the decision, or else we go through our attorneys and go through the court system, and then we get a decision. And either one is time consuming.
And how many times have we, as in the last 5 years or even 10 years, that this has ever occurred?
We have been involved in some processes.
I don't have a specific number, but
I mean, is there ever been a
several
case where somebody, this is not in compliance, and we actually force the removal of something?
Yes.
As a board,
yeah,
or a sign?
Well, I mean, we've had it just with zoning issues.
I'm not really talking current to a building or something, but I mean, it, in this particular subject matter.
Sure, but the concept is the same. You know, I don't recall having one. I don't know if Everett has had one that he's come up particularly with a sign where we've had to go through the court chancery, so to speak, to force an injunction and removal. But, you know, we have had that come through at other levels with zoning. And there's, you know, there's always a challenge with those. I mean, they're just not an easy process to necessarily go through, especially when you have something that is as permanent as a billboard.
Is there a possibility ever to, like, an administrative fine? I've had people suggest that to me, that we, like a traffic violation, maybe. One of our inspectors goes up, there's a clear violation, he writes them up, a ticket, and he gives them the ticket, you know, and to pay a fine. And if they don't think that it's appropriate, they can challenge it, like you know, you have a traffic violation. What would it take for the county to do a method like that? Because what Mr. Let's talk about is part of the problem of county government, Sussex County government, is it takes so long to get any kind of enforcement and get anybody's attention on anything.
Well, one of the things you have to remember, if you get a ticket and a voluntary assessment on the speeding case, that's one incident. If you build a structure, that's permanent. So it's not a case of just giving, going out there.
Well, they get X number of days to comply, yeah, or something, well, like that.
So if they don't comply, they go in and pay a fine. But you still have the sign there. So then you're in a situation where you need to go to the Court of Chancery or some type of court to basically force them to remove it if it's in violation. There are certain things that you can do to give, you know, fines, but when it's a permanent structure, it's not quite that easy as to giving, you know.
What I see is the inspector riding around, and I think it's going to be the proliferation of the future going into more electronic sign messaging and policing that. So why couldn't somebody, or why couldn't we come up with a process that would involve, you know, here's documentation, we have some way to, you know, to document, and then we give them a fine. They got to either pay that fine on the spot, or we give them X number of days to correct the action.
I think to that point, there is language in the introduced ordinance that deals with fines that is new, and that comes directly, I believe, from somewhere in Maryland, that had some strong teeth about, you know, a fine per day. Each day is a continuing violation. It's something that gives more teeth as far as the magistrate process. It gives more, it's certainly more exposure to fines.
Mr. Arlett said, is it spelled out anywhere, this process, or is it just referenced?
No, this is, if you look on, it'd be line 753 and then thereafter, that's a whole new section regarding fines and the type of violations that a person could be, can be cited with. And, you know, this is one of those things as part of this process we were looking at. Now, one of the other things that had been discussed and is not part of this introduced ordinance was a potential change to clean hands at some point to add fines as well, and that was something that had been discussed as part of the process as well.
Okay, are we able to add clean hands to this whole thing?
We would have to, because that deals with another section of code, we would have to do that as a separate introduced ordinance.
Okay, but you can't.
I guess my biggest concern is I haven't heard anybody, any of the testimony at all today. Actually, I think ever in this subject, be it on the working group that I was there, maybe I think it was once or twice perhaps, at all, ever. Whereas somebody has said that we are that we don't need to enforce our current rules. Everybody has said that. My question is, what are we doing to enforce it? How can we do it to actually get some teeth to ensure that people actually are doing what they say they're doing? And that's really my, I'm not an advocate for it, but at the same time, if we're going to have rules, if we're going to enforce rules, what's the penalty? Where's the beef?
Well, and I think that's what this section that we just referred to, there's some more teeth for you. Mm-hmm. And then that also, you know, we've talked about increasing the permit fees and what have you. That was, as part of, I believe Mr. Cole had alluded to before, was to help fund someone who could be that kind of enforcement arm so they can go out and actually be on site and be the one person handling this or persons handling this issue. That, you know, right now you're dealing with a, you know, Lawrence's department is dealing with everything. So it's not just this issue, it's somebody coming for site plan, cell tower, what have you. So there are a lot of different hats that have to be worn, whereas this would, I think in theory, or at least part of the discussion, had been that this would allow for somebody to be that person who could help make sure these things are properly enforced, which is why I think there hasn't been objection from the folks who introduced the alternate ordinance, because that was something that had been discussed and something that had been
And I think those from within the industry wanted it enforced, to
have an even playing field for everybody.
Yeah, I don't. There was no dispute about that.
So I think, again, we're all on the same page here, because in the end, we all don't want to sit here and have conversations about billboards, on-site, off-site, anything else. Let's just go out and look at businesses and provide for our businesses. So the fact is, I think the issue is some people are skirting the process and you know, are attempting to get away with some things, and in the end, perhaps they are, because there's no enforcement. So that's just my only, you know, focus, I guess, is if we're going to enforce, let's talk about how we can do that better.
Are you signifying that if these people don't pay the fine, they are moved out of the house? Have you already taken your home?
Well, I think we're going to stick to the focus of billboards and on premises, not any homes.
This is one way to enforce it. How else do you enforce things? How do you enforce people? So they, it looks like me, you're saying here, we aren't going to enforce. You need to move out of your home. If you guys don't live, you won't pay up the fines. We can't go anywhere. What else can we do?
Are you proposing that, Mr. Wilson? Because I don't think I did.
No, I believe that's the way I understand you're trying to put it across.
You guys misunderstood.
I should understand you. You want to apply more rules. How to track money.
No, I think the question was how you enforce the rules.
That
was the comment.
My comment is how else can you collect money? If they own property, and you're going to shut down their house.
I'm not talking about money.
How are you going to get taxes? How are you going to get money to have property? There's got to be property, Mr. Arnett. If you've got signs, you've got to put signs on property. It's property. That's where the signs come from. They're on property. How else are you enforce things? It's not property. Property is the way you enforce things. You take property from people. If one way to enforce it, you've got to take it court and take it.
I think that goes back to the question when Mr. Cole raised it concerning administrative fines. I indicated, yes, you could have certain types of fines. However, ultimately, if you were trying to stop something or if it was a variance, you would have to go to court, and the courts would have to ultimately decide on that. Okay, but...
So that was to be directed to Mr. Cole, not to Mr. Arnett.
Okay,
let the record
know.
Any more questions, counsel?
I believe I'd already made the call. I asked if there was anyone else that wanted to speak, and we had not seen anyone else want to speak. So, Mr. President, this time the public hearing is over, but as alluded to earlier, the council cannot vote on this today, but it was also desired to leave the public record open for council and staff to review any of the information that was brought up during the public hearing today, plus different exhibits that were offered by Mr. Hutt, and I believe a thumb drive had been given as well for the purpose of viewing some of the electronic billboards.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming a little bit of time frame on that? Record for a period of time?
Yes, that's the council.
This thing expires June 15th.
As far as the moratorium, yeah. That's correct.
Mr. President, I would request that we actually not only keep the public record open, but the public comment. The reason being, let me just throw it out there, and if we can't. But I say that is because planning and zoning was provided this new recommended or suggested ordinance from Mr. Hutt, correct? They haven't responded to it.
Correct.
So for that reason, we could only keep it open for new information, perhaps. But I think it's relevant to keep it open to hear from them as it relates to this suggested.
Well, their report is going to come in to us.
Yeah, we get that
the planning and zoning report will come to us. And that was presented to them. That will be part of the report.
Well, the next meeting is June 7th.
Yeah.
And then 7 days after that is about the 15th?
14th,
right? So why don't we'll have planning and zoning recommendations, and maybe on the 7th, we could get maybe a report from staff to, maybe heard from Mr. Hutt's, and, you know, look at everything, and they could come back with some staff recommendations, possibly, on what they heard today, give us some options, and then we'll discuss it, and then we close everything on the 7th. And then we can adopt something possibly if we move along and keep this on the right path by the 14th, just before the deadline.
I understand. I recommend by June 14th, moratorium comes off.
Well, it does anyway.
That's what I recommend, if there's a fall through, that we come through with it.
But anyway,
if we aren't, go ahead and do this. You can't fool around these people, they're in business. You can't fool around these people forever.
Nobody's working with anybody's business.
They've got to make a living. They can't lay people off because they got fines for them. You just can't fool around this way. I mean, after all, you don't have the same job, George. Putting up signs as a business for these people, it's a way of making a living.
Right.
I don't think they have weight to shut them down.
We are all on the same page, which is why we're having this conversation.
Well, we're on the same page, and you're making a motion to lift the moratorium. Now, if you hope to stay on my page.
That's the motion we passed a month ago.
Okay.
We're already there. Anyway, I'll make a motion that we defer, leave the record open, and I don't care if we leave it open for everything if you want, but just we'll leave the record open. And on June 7th, we will close the record. And we will have a review of everything that's come in, and then on hopefully June 14th we can put this to rest before Mr. Wilson, the expiration date, and that's hopefully we keep moving. We will do it.
I'm with you, Mr. Cole.
Yeah, I'll second that, but I don't believe.
So that
got motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver, to leave the public comment period open until June 7th.
The public record, not comment.
Public record for June 7th. And we close on June 7th.
He said everything. Not comment. We don't need any more the open public hearing. But if anybody wants to submit anything in writing, right?
Normally we do not do that after the public hearing. But what we do is for you to be able to look at any additional information, gather additional information during this period of time. If you have questions,
of staff,
yes.
Okay. We'll leave the record.
Mr. Mayor. Questions on that?
Is it 45 record, George, or is it 70?
33.
33 and 30. We'll take the vote, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I'm going to get motion carried now. I have motion to defer.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Arlett, to defer. Question on the motion. Take the vote, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I'm going to get motion carried. Number four, proposed introduction of the zoning ordinance.
Yes, there is one, Mr. President, and it is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an HVAC business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 1.10 acres, more or less.
And for all this district?
Yes, it is.
I shall introduce it.
That is all, Mr.
Council member comments. Council member comments.
One more out, Mr. President.
There you go. Council member comments.
There
you go. Motion, Mr. Wilson, to adjourn. Second.
Second.
Mr. Arlett, question on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Yeah, Mr. Kay, we're adjourned. Thank you.